away and roll that.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Alonzo Burrell.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Burrell. Give me one second. I think that's mine. Okay. Once again, may I get you to state your name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Alonzo Burrell.
Oh, correct.
099034.
No, that's not mine. Who's doing Mr. Burrell? Anybody?
Am I doing it? Oh, my God, I have it. Okay, pardon me. Yes, I do. Thank you.
The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, we're about to do the hearing now.
Well, just give me one second. We'll get started. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
So, can you get the CO3 to come in for a moment, sir? Can you speak to the CO3?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little bit.
Yes, can you ask the CO3 to come in just for a moment? We want to speak to the CO3 on the phone. We'll be right back to you.
Can you get the CO3 for a minute?
Can you ask the CO3 if he can come to the phone?
CO3?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know how he can hear. We can hear.
Get off of him.
Is it possible to close that door because of the noise that comes in? Is that possible, sir?
Sure, he could have just heard himself. I mean, he triggered his arm up on his phone.
We were hoping that you could close the door so that we wouldn't have the noise, because there's a great deal of noise that interfering with the hearing, sir.
I told him to close the door himself, but as you know, I'm better now here. I'll close the door.
Okay, we're certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much, sir.
All right. All right. I told you to close the door. I'm sorry, you didn't talk about it. I asked you to get in. I thought, you know, it was kind of new to do it. Thanks, sir. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Alfonso Baritan Corral. My ABC number is 099034.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the 3 alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 28th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
It is correct.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you in your room, are you representing yourself today?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce the members of the board to you conducting the hearing. If you can see on your teleconference screen, to my immediate far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. And to my right is the Honorable Ms. Dale Rittenhouse. Also in the room,
hello.
Thank you, sir. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Corral and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or so you affirm.
So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Corral, this hearing will be conducted in 2 phases. Phase 1 will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
I do.
Okay, again, keep in mind this is only the first phase of the hearing. I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal laser company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by a use of methamphetamine on or about June 22, 2017. For the task GCMS lab report dated June 26, 2017, Mr. Corral, is true or false?
It is true, sir.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by a failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 27, 2017 for the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 4, 2017. Mr. Corral, is this true or false?
It is true, sir.
Thank you, sir. The last allegation, allegation number three, violation of condition number two, was demonstrated by your failure to report to the Black Canyon Parole Office at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about July 31st, 2017, as directed in writing on July 29th, 2017. You were actively avoiding supervision, thus an absconder from supervision. Mr. Corral, is this true or false?
It is true.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Corral's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal race or company. Second.
Agree.
Just one second, Mr. Corral, and we will get back to you for the second phase of the hearing. Okay, sir. We're going to move on with the second phase. During this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you momentarily. Mr. Osborne.
Okay. Yes, sir. Mr. Corral was released from DOC custody on May 5th of 2017. He was arrested on September 9th, 2017 by the Phoenix Police Department under the Chicago warrant status and was returned back to our custody on September 10th of 2017. With 4 weeks gone days with a community supervision date of March 14th of 2018. Current conviction, 2014, theft means of transportation, 4 years. Prior conviction, 1993, theft, 5 years. 1993, theft, 5 years. 1995, escape, second degree, 9 months. 2002, license law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. 2002, aggravated assault, 11 years, 3 months. 2002, theft, 6 months. I'm sorry, 6 years. And 2002, theft, means of transportation, 10 years. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no SUG or being information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1998, TIS completion, 3 months, 18 days. And 2012, TIS completion, 1 year, 11 months. He has a significant disciplinary history with promoting prison contraband, stealing, multiple refusals to work, fighting, and threats of the weapon noted. Other arrests, 1985, burglary, 3rd degree, AZ unknown. 1988, burglary, 2nd degree, AZ juvenile detention. 1990, aggravated assault, AZ juvenile detention. 1998, possession of a pistol, California unknown. 2000, simple assault and battery, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. And 2001, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. And he has a community risk score of G6, V8.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Corral. I'm going to go through a quick review of your case supervision summary. Looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to Reborn Assistance Associates located at 2546 West Orangewood Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. You were discharged on June 29, 2017, and approved to reside at 3201 West Monte Vista Road, Phoenix, Arizona. That was your last known address. We didn't have any employment information for you while you were on community supervision, so were you working at all when you were on the outside, sir?
I was. I wasn't residing at on Orangewood Reborn Assistance. They had transferred me to the other house on 19th Avenue in Peoria, okay, in Sunny Slope. After about 2 weeks, I received a job in Gilbert and was on a bike, and it took me 3 hours to get to work and 3 hours to get back. And I worked for a few days and was too exhausted to continue. So I also worked on the Loop 101. After that, about 2 weeks later, I got another job from the temporary staffing place. And it was the Loop 101 at Mile Drive, and they wanted me to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. The buses didn't run until 4:30, so I couldn't make it. Once I got transferred back to my mother's home, I tried to get a job at a metal recycling place, and after I received it, a few days later, they found out I was an ex-convict and looked for an excuse to release me, and so they did, and I got a job at a battery shop 4 days prior to my arrest and violation. And I was taking care of my aunt at home with my mother, and the day came up to where I was supposed to drop a UA, and I, on my way in the afternoon, I thought I had plenty of time because they closed at 9 p.m. I got a mercy text from the CVS for prescription medication for my back that said that if I didn't go and pick it up by 7 p.m. that they would dispose of it. And so I had to go pick them up. And because I hadn't had a job for a while and hadn't yet got paid from the job that I was working, my cousin who owed me some money, which was about $80, I didn't have a dime in my pocket for a while and I needed that money, so I wanted to pick it up because she's the type of person that if you don't pick it up when she says she has it, you may never see it again. So I went to go pick it up, and by the time I made it to task, I was literally 1 minute late. And I left a message recording with my parole officer. I immediately called him because I was on my bike and the bus was going to make me late. So I rode as fast as I could to get there on 67th Avenue in Glendale. And I left Mr. Logan a message with verification from the staff member that was at the task, verifying I was there, what time it was, but that they had closed literally 1 minute. As I was there locking up my bike, a lady behind me had went in, and as soon as I was done locking my bike, I turned around to go in, and he told me it was closed. I said, "You just let somebody in. Can you please let me do it?" And he said, "No, he couldn't because they were closed." And so that's when I left that message, and I asked my parole officer, "Please call me back. Let me know what you want me to do. I'll drop a task in front of you. I'll go to a program. I'll do whatever it is you want." And he called me back when he was leaving the next day and told me that he wanted me to come in. And when I called him, he said he had already violated me that very next day. So I didn't want to come back to prison. So I went on the run for a month. And I've been, yeah, I didn't know what to do. My baby's mother got back in contact with me. She wanted to continue doing drugs. I didn't. I broke up with her. She called the cops on me, and I'm here.
Mr. Crowell, a couple of things. One is, I do want to commend you for trying so hard to work. I'm taking what you're saying at face value, and that sounds like you really put in a lot of effort to be gainful, and that's meaningful. The second thing is, let me put it this way. Sooner or later, you'll finish your prison sentence and be released on your own. So where will you live once you're eventually released from the prison system?
My aunt, who was taking care of my mother, insists that I stay with her. Okay. So that I can continue taking care of her. She's at her end days. At 3201 West Montevista Road.
Okay. Okay. And so here are some questions. I think you already answered one of them just by stating that you didn't want to go back to prison, but this is, it sounds like that's why you were missing for 40 days.
Yes, sir.
And what were you doing during those 40 days?
I had to have a job 4 days before I had gotten arrested, and I was working and I was staying with my aunt, taking care of her with my mother. I was doing odd jobs because I'm an electrician, so anybody that would need electrical work on their homes, family members, and friends, I would work on their house and then give the money to my mother or my aunt.
Okay, here's another question. It sounded like you were trying to stay away from drugs, but you did have a positive for methamphetamine and a couple of missed UAs. I know you're staffed for that, but do you have an ongoing problem with methamphetamine?
No, the reason, well, I can't say no because obviously I dropped a dirty UA, but when I was at the halfway house, 2 months, and it was very difficult to keep up with the rent, and they threatened to kick me out that Saturday. Friday is when I was going to drop the UA. Thursday is when I began to believe I was going to get violated for not being able to pay my rent and not having a place to go. I didn't know that my parole officer would do something for me. I knew that I wasn't able to go home because of the shame I brought to my family for coming back to prison at the time. So believing I was going to go on the run, I didn't know what to do. I was depressed and I started doing drugs. I started doing methamphetamine, and the very next day is when my UA came, which was Friday. I dropped it. It was dirty. And then my parole officer called me, called my mother, and told them that, you know, I dropped. He wanted to talk to me. I thought I was going to be violated, so I was just going to go on a run like I did this last month. And my mom called me the day I had dropped dirty. And the day after, when my parole officer called her, she had informed me that my aunt had said, come and stay with her. I said, well, you didn't call me 2 days before, so I didn't have to do any drugs and believe I was going to be violated. And I would have just told my parole officer, transfer me home now. It was just a belief that I had brought upon myself, and the depression, the first thing I thought of was drugs because I didn't want to be depressed. And it turns out that it was going to be okay, so I went to talk to my parole officer. He gave me a 5-day timeout, asked me if I was to stay clean because there was a lot of drugs in that timeout place. They do take a lot of drugs. I was clean. And he says if I drop clean after 5 days, that he will transfer me home. I dropped the UA on the 5th day. I was clean, and I went home. I waited for my UA the next time, all the while looking for a job. And when that UA came, I literally was 1 minute late, and that's what I'm violated for. But I was clean. I wasn't doing any drugs. I broke up with my baby's mother just because she was doing drugs, and I didn't want to be with her while she was doing drugs. I was working at a battery shop on the corner of 35th Avenue and Garfield in Phoenix. I have my boss's number and name that I can give you.
Okay, Mr. Crowell, hold on 1 second. I need to take some information from my community corrections officer. Yes, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, just a couple of things to note. On July 29th, 2017, when Officer Giovanna Pilak delivered a violation letter to 3201 Monte Vista, where he was staying, a gentleman came out and said they no longer wanted him at the house. He doesn't work. He doesn't do anything. And to take him back to prison. So please come get him. And also on August 8th of 2017, 3 different absconder reduction program letters were mailed out. One to 321 West Monte Vista. The other to 109 East Brinker Drive in Avondale. And the other to 3207 West Monte Vista Road number 8. One was number 8, one was number C. So they sent out 3 letters.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Carolla, I have one last question because the board hasn't had a chance to ask any questions yet. The last question is that you were picked up by the Phoenix Police Department on your absconder status. What were you doing when the police made contact with you? What caused that contact?
My baby's mother called the police on me because I told her I had met somebody. I couldn't get away from her. So I had to make her believe I actually did meet somebody. And I had asked a friend to meet me at the park on 35th Avenue in Campbell. So because she was following me. And we pretended like we were boyfriend and girlfriend, just hanging out. And when she had left, when I realized she had left the park, screeching her car in the parking lot, I told my friend I was going to go back to work even though it was my day off. Thanks for her help. And I was leaving the park on my bike. They pulled me over saying that I didn't have a light on my bike, but I had just taken it out of my pocket. I'm wondering, with the letter that was sent to the 3201, let me know that I was going to be violated. My parole officer, Roger Logan, who was my ex-parole officer, because I got transferred to Phoenix to another parole officer, he called my mother and told her that there was no warrant for me when this is when, while I was on the run, and that I needed to call them to let them know what was going on. So I called, but I didn't get a hold of Roger Logan because it turns out he's the one that got the recording of the U-Wave of me being 1 minute late. And I had told my new parole officer, look, Roger Logan called my mom and said this, and that there was programs available that I can come in and continue parole. He says, no, I already put a violation for you Friday, that very next day after you didn't show up for the UAE.
I think we got the gist of that, Mr. Corral. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, Mr. Corral, we have no questions from my fellow board members. We're getting close to the end of your hearing. So is there a final statement that you would like to make before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management. We have a pretty full docket today, but it is your hearing. So is there anything else you'd like to show the board?
Thank you for your time, and I'm sorry for taking more time than necessary. Appreciate it.
Well, sir, again, this is your hearing, so if there's anything else you'd like to share, please.
It's in your hands. I'd like to ask you to do the right direction.
Thank you, Mr. Corral. The board's going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision regarding whether to continue your community supervision or whether to revoke. So if you'll just remain on the phone. We will come back to you shortly with a decision.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Corral. Fellow board members, I think that this is an unfortunate case in as much that I'm impressed with the amount of effort that Mr. Corral put into finding work. It seems like that there were struggles with stabilizing his place to live. Of course, we have the relapse or slip-up with the methamphetamine. He was sanctioned to MRC. And it just does not sound like that this particular run of community supervision went well for him, which is, I'll say, curious because he completed TIS. Pardon me, he completed his community supervision twice in the past. If you put it all together with respect to Mr. Corral, because it's certainly not out of disrespect for his effort, I'm not finding him suitable for returning him to community supervision for the remainder of the sentence, but I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues, and certainly that's where I'd like to begin the discussion. So.
I agree with you.
Okay. That being stated, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2017-W2704, our discussion with Mr. Corral, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision, as Mr. Corral is delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and as much that he used methamphetamine and absconded from supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal race or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Corral, we heard what you had to say. Certainly, we feel for the struggle that you had during your community supervision, but we have voted to revoke. You'll be released on or about March 14, 2018. I recognize it sounds like a long time away, but it is not. It is actually less than 5 months. And we encourage you to take advantage of the remainder of your sentence, to put together a plan for your return to the community, to include living, whatever work arrangement that you're interested in doing, and hopefully having a plan for keeping any use of methamphetamine or other drugs under control. We do wish you the best. Please don't take this as a negative. These last weeks will go quickly, and we do wish you the best. So thank you for appearing before this board. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And if you could, please give the phone to your CO3, sir.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate it.